Okay. I don't want to use time going over what I said last time, because I see what happened. I went overboard, but I hope it was helpful. Let me just say two things that will just get us right into what we need to talk about now, which is how to kasher for Pesach and how to get the house ready for Pesach. So point one is that there's a difference between the kitchen and the rest of the house, a halachic difference between the kitchen and the rest of the house. The kitchen has to do with food preparation, which has to do with the issue of eating chametz. That's what that has to do with. And the cleaning of the house, the rest of the house, doesn't have so much to do with eating chametz. It has to do with owning chametz. Because as I said, there are three different things. You're not allowed to eat chametz, as everybody knows. You're not allowed to have hana from chametz. That's another deraisa. You're not allowed to derive benefit from chametz. If it's chametz, you're not allowed to derive benefit from it. And the third thing is you're not allowed to own chametz. Yira lecha chametz, layimatzei lecha chametz, b'chol sha'arecha. You're not allowed to have, which is called in Talmudic language, bal yira, bal yimatzei. You're not allowed to see it, you're not allowed to find it, but it has to be yours in order to be over that prohibition. So when we're talking about the kitchen, which I want to stress more tonight, we're talking about how to make sure that there's not any drop of chametz in our food. Now, again, even though we say, and I want to stress this point because I was thinking about it that I didn't make this clear enough, even though we say that chametz is usser b'mashehu, meaning even a drop of chametz is usser, you have to open the door, it's going to make a... Even though we say that chametz is aser b'mashehu, so even a drop of chametz is aser, meaning midoraisa, you need a kezayis to eat in order to be chayiv kares, but you're not allowed to have mashu. But nevertheless, and I want to stress this point, let me just hear me well, it has to be achila. At the end of the day, it has to be achila. Achila means something you're eating. Somebody said last week, well, what about, like, if the dust has chametz in it? What about if there's like chametz in the atmosphere? What if it somehow gets into my... we're not talking about a laboratory here. What we're talking about is achila. Obviously, if you're breathing, you're not eating. that's not eating. Reach is sometimes us or sometimes mutter, but that's not what we're talking about over here. So we don't talk about microscopic chametz. Even eating microscopic chametz is mutter because it's not called achila. It has to be called achila. As last time, that the Yigris Moshe says you're allowed to even swallow a pill which is 100% chametz because that's not achila. It's swallowing a pill. Swallowing a pill is different than achila. Okay, so what we're talking about is it has to be achila, it has to be a mashu. That's what we're cleaning the chametz, that's why we're kashering the counters, that's why we're burning out the oven, that's why we're doing all these things, so you shouldn't have an achila of chametz. The rest of the house, different issue, you're not allowed to own chametz. It's not so much a question of you're not allowed to eat it the rest of your house either, but it's not the chashash. That's not the reason why we do a bedikas chametz. We do a bedikas chametz, so you shouldn't, two things really. A, you shouldn't own chametz, and that has to be a kezayis to be usher. Let me tell you a kezayis here. I finally did it. This is the most machmir chazanish shita of a kezayis. That is matzah. I took matzah, and I put it into a grinder, and I weighed it in this way. It's exactly 27 gram, including the bag. So it's a little bit less than 27, right? So 27 gram. You know, everybody talks, I just want to say, everybody says, like, it's so ridiculous, the zayas was never like this. What do you talk about? Watermelons, right? It's not so crazy, right? you could imagine an olive being that size in good, healthy times.
So this came from a matzah?
This was a matzah.
How big was this matzah?
Used to be a matzah. This is one-third of a machine matzah.
Square.
One third of a square matzah, and it's exactly 27 gram. If you find, with a cookie, like a Zeftika cookie. So if you would find this, if you own this, let's put it this way, if you own this amount of chametz, then you're over a lav, a chayv karis, but you're over an avera if you own it. That's if it's less than this amount, you're not over a lav.
And it doesn't collect.
It has to be such that it's close enough that you can grab it all together in one hand. That's the shear. It's the shear of the Mishnah Berurah. So meaning that, let's say I have a bunch of crumbs on the table. Let's say this is spread all over the table. I take this, I throw it all over the table. Am I over an aveira or not? And the answer is, I'm not, because I can't go like this. I'd have to be able to pick it up with one hand, a hand's breadth of an average person. That's the shear. It has to be together, and then it's mitztaber. But otherwise, it's not mitztaber, and you're not chayiv. So it comes out that if you have here a crumb, there a crumb, anything less than this amount in your house, under the couch, behind the refrigerator, wherever it may be, you're not over an aveira. However, that being said, the Rabbanon came along, and they said, but there's a different issue. And another issue is a third issue, sort of. You know, you're not allowed to eat chametz, and you're not allowed to own chametz. But there's another issue. What happens if, you know, like we're all nashers? You see a piece of chocolate, you eat it. Like, there's not much thought that goes into it. Thank God we make a bracha. You know, let's just stop for a second. Otherwise, so what about, says the Gemara, what about you're going to be doing something in your house, and there's going to be something there, a pretzel, and you're going to come and you're going to eat the pretzel. And all what I do is just take chametz. So on that, the Rabbanan said, do a bedikas chametz, A, to make sure you don't have a kazayis like this around, and B, even if you don't have a kazayis, you don't have something which is edible. So the bedikas chametz is looking for edible items which would be a kazayis or less. Edible items which are kazayis. So let me just ask a question just to demonstrate this. Pulling your refrigerator out from away from the wall. So maybe it'd be worth pulling your refrigerator over from the wall. Now, probably even in the cleanest of houses, like if you'd find a piece of chocolate there, you're not going to eat it, right? You don't have to answer. I'm looking at you like I'm waiting for it. you have to be really careful. A Cheerio. You're gonna eat a Cheerio from behind? You're not going to eat it?
I'm saying my 2-year-old probably would.
So let him eat it. He's not bar mitzvah. It's two. But a 2-year-old would eat it. Somebody does. I mean, but a bar das is not going to eat something. Might eat it. You might eat it if something falls on the floor. There's like a 10-second rule, 20-second rule, whatever. There's some kind of a rule. But behind your refrigerator. So what I'm saying is that, you know, I want to make a point here that when I was a kid, so bedikas chametz, took 15 minutes. You know, he went around with a candle and it was very entertaining for the kids. And then I went to yeshiva and I said, oh, this is all wrong. This has to take, you have to check everywhere. This has to take at least 3-4 hours to do a bedikah. Look under the beds, look in the closets, look in everybody's pockets, you know, with the candle and everything. And then I realized that the truth is somewhere in between, probably more closer to the 10 minutes than the 3 hours. It can't be perfunctory, but it's only a makom shemachnis and bechametz. It's a place. This is the extent you have to clean. You have to do two things. Where there's a possibility that there's a kazayis of chametz, you have to do a bedikas chametz and you have to clean that. Where there's a possibility, is there a possibility there's a bedikas chametz in your washing machine? Probably not. Where there's a kazayis. Also, where there may be edible chametz. And of course, all of that is talking about where you're not going to put it aside and sell it. I'm talking about which is going to remain yours over Pesach. So it's a very, very, this is the most important thing I have to say here tonight, that this is what a kazayis. By the way, if you want to eat a kazayis matzah on Pesach, I can't eat too much matzah. This is a health point of view. I can't eat too much matzah. A kazayis, this is a kazayis. that's what a kazayis means. Like, people think it's like, it's not such a big deal to eat this much matzah. It's a third of a machine matzah. You want to do all the mitzvahs of Pesach night at the Seder, you need 3 kazeisim altogether. There's mitzvah motzi matzah, mitzvah achilas matzah, mitzvah of korech. So you need 3 kazeisim. So 3 times this. Also, nishkeverloch, you know. It's not the end of the world, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. Only make 1 Seder. It's not, you know, not going to become a celiac, I don't think, from eating this. If you are, then you need a heter to eat less. You can go less than this, by the way. This is 27 gram. According to the Badats, but the Haredis, right, they're pretty machmer, 20 gram. So you could even knock off a little bit. So that's the kazayis we're talking about. Again, to sum that up, we do a bedika so we don't come to own or eat chametz. We do cleaning in case there's a mashahu chametz that can get into our food. And then we do a third thing, which is bittul chametz. Bittul's gevaldik. It just bittul chametz is. I'm always so inspired by it because bittul chametz means that you're not even doing anything. You're just saying in your heart that if I own chametz, I don't want it. Letting go. Letting go of your chametz. It's just a very deep thing spiritually, I think, also. Just to let go of the chametz. Chametz representing, I'm not here to give a musar shmuz, but I'm just saying that, I find the older I get that the more that everything sort of boils. I listen to a lot of arguments and a lot of politics and a lot of domestic stuff and a lot of children. So much of it boils down to kavod, It's like a kavod, It's not even about money. I used to think everything boils down to money. Money's a big one. But most of it is kavod, You feel slighted. You feel very like you offended me. That's the, how come, it's a lot of kavod. And, the whole chametz thing spiritually is just let go of it. It's okay. It's okay. Hashem will take care of my kavod. I don't have to sit and worry about my kavod so much. And it's like an interesting thing with kavod. The more you let go of it, the more kavod you get. That's another thing you learn in old age. on the contrary, who has kavod for somebody who wants kavod? Yeah. Kavod. The Rebbetzin maybe did a chesed of writing the main points that we spoke about on Sunday, and it actually just came out of the printer. If anybody wants a copy, there's copies there. Okay, let's focus on the kitchen preparation, which is all about making sure that a drop of chametz does not get into our food. Now, I said earlier that it has to be eating. Now, if there's chametz boiled into my counter, how am I eating it? What am I eating? So here is a very important halachic rule, which messes up my leniency. And that is that we say, tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar means that if you taste something, even though you're not getting any mamashut, you're not getting anything, any actual thing, but if you're tasting something, so the taste itself is considered ikar, it's like the thing itself. And Chazal, in their genius, understood that it's very possible that certain material can absorb a taste and give the taste back. Hence, if you cook milk in a pot, so now that pot becomes milky. It's not just a halachic thing. The taste of the milk will go into whatever you're cooking. So now if you cook pasta, I'm not talking about Pesach now, but if you cook pasta in that same pot, so it will have a very subtle, milky taste. This is, by the way, not just, this is not only Kabbalah, this is a real thing. I remember years ago when I was in Buffalo, I remember I went to try to kosher a bakery, and it was a bunch of Hare Krishnas that had this bakery, so everything was pure and everything was 100%, no animal. It was a murliot, a very easy job to kasher. So I told them that the only thing I found there was they didn't realize that they were using a shortening which was not kosher, and they were very distraught that they were using animal product in their bread. And they said, okay, they'll stop immediately. So I said, okay, but we need to kosher all those baking pans. They had maybe 100 baking pans to kosher. So they said, what do they mean kosher? So I said, well, in this case, we'll have to take a blowtorch and we'll have to clean them all out or get new ones. And they refused to do it. Interesting, they refused to do it, even though they were very against the animal idea and they were shocked that they were being machshel tzibur the way they were with actual animal shortening. It wasn't, by the way, lard or anything, but it was just, it didn't have a heksher. so it could have some animal in it. But they said that they spent years getting the taste that they wanted and seasoning the pans that they had. So they getting the taste in there, they were not willing to be mevater on the taste that was absorbed into the pans. And I'm not a baker, but if I was a baker or a cook, I would realize that a seasoned pot or a seasoned pan is different than a brand new pan. It takes a while till it gets the taste in there. So Chazal understood this, and Chazal said that there are certain materials that absorb taste, and there are certain materials that do not absorb. Glass will not absorb taste, no matter what you do to it. Even no matter what you do to glass, this is, by the way, real glass, tempered glass. You could pour hot spaghetti on this, and it will not absorb it. You wash it off, and that's all you have to do. However, if it would be metal, if it would be wood, if it would be almost any other material, it would absorb it. Some things, say Chazal, absorb it so much that it'll never come out again. And that would be kli cheres. So kli cheres is something which is earthenware, or in our language, china. So something which is an earthenware vessel. Glass is, by the way, not earthenware. It's made differently. It's made out of sand, so you'd think it's earthenware, but it's blown. It's not. It's created. It's a different process. But actual china or actual pottery, earthenware. So that absorbs and it never comes out. So that's glass on the one hand, earthenware on the other hand, metal. So metal can go in and it can come out. So Chazal taught us how to do this, and this is what kashering is all about: getting out, taking the things that you can kosher, and koshering them. If you don't, so then your counter will have the taste of the chametz in it, in our case. And now, if you'll put something hot and wet on that counter, the taste will go out, go into your whatever it is that you're putting there, and make it into chametz. So you with me? So this is the purpose, if you will, of koshering anything that we're koshering. We talked about glass. We talked about metal. We talked about wood, even. Wood is kosherable. What about plastic? What do you think about plastic? Wasn't around at the time of Chazal. So what's plastic? So the answer is we don't know. That's the real answer. We don't know what a polymer is. And this is very important. We don't know. Is it like glass? On the one hand, plastic is very, very, they can make plastic with a strength that it's bulletproof. You know, and it could be like glass. You know, airplane windows. The windows of the airplane, they're made out of plastic. So it could be very, very strong. It's much stronger than glass. Glass would not be appropriate. It would break. Glass could be bulletproof. Plastic could be bulletproof. Or plastic, you could say, is like, you know, there's kinds of plastics that if you would take like a plastic, like the top of that cup, and you would soak it into some strong dye for a long time, it would absorb it and it would be very difficult to get in. So there's plastic and there's plastic. We don't know what plastic is. We don't know if it's earthenware, or we don't know if it's like glass. And also, I think it depends on which plastic. But here's the halacha. The halacha is that all year long, we say plastic is kosherable. Because even, so if you have a Formica counter, you move into a house, you're not sure if it was kosher, not kosher, has a Formica counter, Formica is plastic, you can kosher it. Because even if some of the treif or the milchix or the fleishix or whatever it is left in the Formica counter, okay, it's batel b'shishim, it'll get lost. However, on Pesach, that we're worried about even a mashahu, even a drop, so you can't kosher plastic. That's the rule. So Formica, therefore, cannot be kashered. Given everything I just told you, so let's just go through. Let's go through some of the things that are very, very common. Counters. Let's start with counters. This is what I'm talking about. If you have in your house a stone counter, granite. If you have a granite counter, kibolo kachpolto. Just like whatever chametz got in there, the chametz can come out. And you can 100% kosher it. That's what they did in the time of the Gemara. That's what they did in the time of the Shulchan Aruch. They didn't cover stone. Nobody covered stone. Stone was much more common, believe it or not, in the olden days, according to my research, than it is now. Now it's an expensive thing, but then that was what they used for countertops. Stone. That's what they did. So you can kosher stone. If you have a granite countertop, you can kosher it. The only challah is, do you really have a granite countertop? That's the question. A lot of people think they have a stone countertop, and they don't have a stone countertop. And the reason is because there is something called, not just in this country, but very common in this country, called Evan Kesar, Caesar stone, which is an international thing. It doesn't have much to do with Caesar. And what that is it's a composite. What they figured out to do, how to do scientifically, is to take stone, could be granite, could be marble, could be other stones. They quarry it, they grind it up into a level where it's not powder like this, but it still looks nice. They put it back together and they glue it all together with a resin, which is plastic. So now, if you have Evan Kesar, and it's hard to know, by the way, it's hard to tell. You have to really be a mumcha to know. Unless you made your kitchen, you know, it's hard to know what you have. Probably it's not granite unless it costs a lot of money. So that Evan Kesar is a combination of anywhere between 60 and 80% stone and the rest being plastic. Therefore, you can't kosher it. You can pour hot water on it. You can do everything. You can't kosher it. The only thing to do with that is to cover it, which I'll describe. So if you have a wooden countertop, which most people don't have, if you have a stainless steel countertop, you can kosher it. If you have a stone countertop, you can kosher it. If you wooden, yeah, you can take very interesting. You know, like these spaghetti spoons. You like a wooden spoon. In our house is a spaghetti spoon. I don't know what it is, but like a wooden spoon. So it actually takes the color of the tomato sauce, right? You can kosher it. You can clean it, even if it stays the same color. Even if it's still red, you can clean it to the point, which I will describe in a minute, but to the point that it's clean, you put it in hot water, and it's kosher. You know how I know this? Because it says in the Chumash, it says Mefurish in the Torah. So if you would have a wooden countertop, you could kosher it.
What if it's lacquer?
Not too bad. We'll get to the lacquer in a minute. It depends because, yeah.
I have a nice salad bowl wood, but I'm not sure if it's one piece or multiple pieces.
Multiple pieces doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference, what Bela said, whether it's what it's coated with.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's coated
right,
with.
That's right.
Right. So, these days, unless you have like an antique, these days the way they finish wood is not by putting a varnish on it. It's not the way it's done any longer. So that was like an old time way of doing it. So these days, it actually absorbs into the wood, and you can kosher it. So most of those, the salad bowls, like our salad bowl, that kind of a salad bowl, absolutely can kosher. It just has a shine. Truth is, you kosher it, it'll lose the shine. That's the truth. But if you want the bowl, you can do it. So wood, stone, metal, those are things that you can kosher. Anything which is klicheres, so if you have charsina, what's it called? Ceramic. If you have ceramic, can't kosher. That's absolutely earthenware. And if you have plastic, so you can kosher it all year, but no, you can't do it for Pesach. Am I clear on this? Good. You didn't say yes. Am I clear? Am I being clear? So let's walk around the kitchen for a minute. You have a stovetop. So a lot of people have different kinds of stovetops. Let's talk about a traditional sort of stovetop. Stovetops used to be part of the oven. You don't see so much anymore. And now stovetops on the counter for whatever reason. Stovetop, maybe typically it's a piece of metal with four burners. Yeah? Stainless steel maybe, four burners. The stainless steel, easy to kosher. Stainless steel is the easiest thing to kosher because stainless steel... it's made to be koshered. That's right. It was born to be koshered. Stainless steel, it gets very clean. It's very easy. What you need to remember is that when you're koshering an item, you have to kosher the item. If this has dirt on it, you can't kosher it because that comes between the hot water and the keli. So just keep in mind that whatever we're talking about koshering, we're going to have to clean it first. Make sure you have a clean surface. Stainless steel, piece of cake. Wrong expression. Stainless steel is easy. Easy to kosher. So that's the four. What about the burners? Well, The burners have two parts to it, or maybe...
I'm sorry, you said it's easy to kasher, how do you kasher?
I will tell you, but it's easy to kasher. You have the burners. Burners have the black grates, right? And what are those made out of?
Metal.
Some people have fancy stoves, and it's like a ceramic thing. You know, but let's say most of us have metal, and then you have the piece in the middle that the fire comes out of. So here's the way this goes. And from the stove, we'll learn about the whole kitchen. Rule, which I'm sure you know, is kibolo kachpolto. As the chametz would have entered into the stainless steel, so too is the way to get it out. So first of all, remember, it has to be clean. Let's define clean. Clean means that you can... Is this glass clean? Clean means that if you close your eyes, only with your eyes closed can you know it's clean, ironically. If you close your eyes and you rub your hand against it and you don't feel anything, then it's clean. If you want to know if your oven is clean, you close your eyes. First wait till it's cold. Close your eyes and you rub your hand along the inside. If you don't feel anything, it's clean. If you feel something, it's clean. What you see means nothing. Stains, discolorations, doesn't mean anything. It's what you feel. That's what's important. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So our stovetop, we're going to clean it. You have to use whatever cleanser you want to use, but it has to be clean. Now, the stovetop, and now I'm talking about in between the burners, right? In between the burners. You didn't fry in between the burners. The most you did was something spritzed on it, or you put something hot down on top of it. So the way that's koshered is with boiling hot water. Really, one of the only ways you can kosher. Stainless steel. You have to pour boiling hot water on it. And then whatever went in by spritzing from the pots or whatever comes out. So you pour boiling hot water on it. The grates, it's a little bit different because it didn't go in by spritzing. There's an actual fire. You might have burnt chametz into the grate. So here we need a stronger method of kashering. How do you kasher it? With fire. So the old time way is you put a blowtorch to it or something, and you burn it out. Well, by the way, burning something out always works. That's the ultimate kasher. I don't like it. I don't recommend it, by the way. But if you would walk around everything and blowtorch it, your wood, your bed, your pillows, everything, it would kosher. The reason I don't recommend it is not because it's not kosher. It's not because it's not safe. I don't think it's so good because if I know myself, and I do this a lot, if you blowtorch something, to get the whole thing blowtorched, it takes a huge amount of patience. To do four burners with a blowtorch, Chabad people like to do it. But to do it with a blowtorch, to do it correctly, I mean, it's got to take at least an hour. Because you've got to get every inch to the point where if you would touch a straw to it, the straw would burn up. That's how hot it has to get. Who's doing that? It's hard to do. So, on the other hand, what are you supposed to do? So, it's very easy. You have fires right there, right? The fires are built in. It's a self-koshering mechanism. Does it get the whole thing? The answer is no. So, this is what you do. You take... a piece of blech, a piece of metal, if you like an old-time blech.
Not your
platter. Right, not an electric one, right, exactly. You take something. I've seen people take, like, the trays from their oven, and you can use those, and you put it over the burners, and then you turn on...
What about foil?
You can use foil with the heavy foil. You could do that, too. That's metal.
The problem is if you close it around the edges, then the foil doesn't stay on.
You don't close it around the edges. So let me tell you. So now I'm going to be. Let me talk about the halach, and then I'll tell you the practical thing, because I have ruined many a stove. What you want to do? This is the best thing to do with the stovetop. Let me go quickly. Take a piece of metal, either the very thick aluminum foil. The practical part of it is it's very. You can cut yourself on it. It's very sharp on the edges. Put it over all four burners. Turn on the four burners. Make sure it's breathing from the sides and from the front. And when you turn on those four burners, what's happening is that you're creating so much heat underneath there. It's a lot of heat. when you're creating so much heat underneath this blast that it's koshering not only the burners, but the middle part too.
The stainless steel.
Stainless steel part too. So you've already koshered it for free, meaning you don't have to go pour boiling water on it, which people don't.
Still have metal, but not stainless steel.
Any kind of metal. Anything you can kosher with. It koshers everything. It koshers everything. Which part is enamel?
Sometimes there are stovetops, a lot, mostly older stovetops.
Where the top?
That's an enamel stove.
No, you can't kosher it.
So that has to be covered.
Can't kosher it.
And then also.
So I'm going to get to enamel or glass.
The grates on the stove.
Everything is kosher. By putting this metal thing on top of it, you've done everything that you have to do. Assuming it's all metal.
But you don't cover the knobs.
Don't cover the knobs because they melt. We have never had a house where the knobs weren't melted on us. No, I'm not the for one.
So what do you do with the knobs?
Well, who melts the knobs?
You just the knobs.
What?
What do you do with the knobs?
The knobs, take them off.
Take them off and clean them.
You don't ever usually cook on it.
Put the fire on for 5 minutes. We're talking about 5 minutes, and it cooks. So we've koshered the stovetop. If your stovetop is made out of enamel, or if it's a glass stovetop. Now, glass is not glass. That glass is not the same glass as this. If you would put that type of heat treatment on this, it would break. It's a composite of glass and cheres. It's a type of an earthenware mixture of glass, and therefore that's how it's mafsik mamad. It's not kosherable. And if you have that kind of a stove, you're in big trouble because you really have no way to kosher. You know, and they also say you can't. What I've seen some people do. What?
No, but the grates are metal.
No, but some people have just one beautiful flat piece of glass. Right, and it's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. It's easy to clean. You can't kosher it. It's induction. It's not induction necessarily. It gets hot, like it turns red. It's electric. There's no way to kosher it. What I've seen some people do, I don't know if it's a good idea or not, I don't know, is they build like a metal piece on top of it, and they put it on like 2-inch pegs on all four sides, and it's like above. It doesn't rest right on the head, and they cook that way. Don't buy such a, if you're, you know, a firm Jew shouldn't buy this. there's nothing to do.
It's a combination. I have the grates, but underneath is that cheres glass underneath, so I just cover that bit.
Yeah, so cover whatever's cheres you have to cover. Whatever's cheres you have to cover. Let's move along. In anything that's enamel, you have to cover. So if the middle of your stove, if like the old time stoves, you mean, right? They were all like enamel, like the yellow ones and white ones. Yeah, so that was all enamel. So those enamel, there's nothing to do. You have to cover it. Nowadays, a lot of people have stainless steel, so you don't have to cover it.
Once you leave it on for 5 minutes with the black or the foil over it, is there a test to know if it's hot enough?
No, it's hot enough.
It's hot. Just 5 minutes and you're done.
You passed the test. No, it's hot enough. It's hot enough to be dangerous. You should be careful. It's very hot. Think about it. If you have four flames going at full blast with a piece of metal blocking the heat from going anywhere, you can put in 5 minutes. You'll put a little piece of water, a little bit of water anywhere on the blast. Psst, it's sizzling off.
The foil will burn through.
The foil actually does burn through. The foil actually, you could see the flame come here.
If you end up pouring boiling water on it, so be prepared that your gas hub, if it's a gas stove, will not work for at least 20 minutes.
Right, till after Pesach. Till after Pesach.
Right, so that was my other question. How do you pour boiling water?
So that's why I'm suggesting theoretically, you can pour boiling hot water on your stainless steel, but you're going to make a balagan. So the better thing to do is just to cover it. Okay.
Let's.
It does. 5 minutes. Let me tell you, when you're koshering with heat, you don't need to. You don't have to clean. That's the beauty of koshering with heat. You can. Where are you going to put it? Or so. Let's move next to the thing. Let's move next to the stovetop, to the oven. So now the oven. If you are privileged to have a self-cleaning oven, you have a self-koshering oven, because that the temperature in a self-cleaning oven, but according to all opinions, is hot enough to kosher anything. And the proof is that it actually cleans, it actually chars anything that's in there. You don't need to clean it. You don't need to blowtorch it. You don't need to do anything. That, to me, is very, very mahudar, by the way. Because a self-cleaning oven is better than anything anybody can do. It's what's called a libun gamor. It gets really hot in there. It's an even temperature. It burns everything. Even, and I've tested this, where everybody's worried about, like, the gasket, you know, where the door closes. Even that, if you touch a match to it, it will light the match. Oh, wow. I've done it. I've actually done it. I've actually stuck a match. It lights up the match. It's not true that it doesn't get hot in there.
The inside, by the door.
Outside. Not the outside, but the part that comes in contact with food. That's what we're worried about. Right. Anything that comes in contact with food, we're worried about. So a self-cleaning oven, self-koshering oven, nothing more to say about it. But what we can say is what Razel says, and that is now you can take whatever it is that you want to kosher, and you can put it in that oven, it'll kosher it also, and it also might destroy it. So you have to be careful. Like, for instance, if it has a Bakelite handle, it will drip, literally drip.
No.
You can put, what's good to put in there is the, sometimes the stove grates, sometimes people put them in there, but again, it loses its finish. It's very, very hot. Yes,
so my self-cleaning oven is European, and it says that I've got to take all the sides out and the inside and take everything out. So what's the point?
The point is, don't listen to them. All they're worried about is they don't want you to lose the finish.
Can we put the grates in the oven?
You could. Just be careful not to ruin everything.
We've
done this.
You have a rubber on them. So you'll lose that shiny finish, first of all. And also, if they've got rubber things where they little pads where they touch the stove, they're going to go.
Yeah. You can still use it.
Yeah.
But
maybe it gets looser. So, okay, I want to move on because I don't want to keep you here all night. So that's a self cleaning oven. Let's say you don't have a self cleaning oven. Let me just make one other point. There's another thing called a continuous cleaning oven. A continuous cleaning oven is not a self cleaning oven. What that is it's an oven, also not a frum oven. Frum people should not buy these. It's because it's very hard to kosher. What that is it has a coating on it where it doesn't, it's like a coating like this stuff, which is very easy to clean. It's an enamel sort of a coating. And by putting it on heat continuously, so the heat is enough to clean it, but it's not enough to kosher it. So it'll never be a kosher oven. And if you'll put a blowtorch or something to that, you'll ruin it.
Or
easy off even doesn't work on it. So don't get that. Those were created continuous cleaning ovens and glass top stove tops. They were created by anti-Semites. So not use those. They're not.
Is kosher.
It's kosher. Absolutely. Everything. You can put some pots in there. Let's say you have a cast iron pot. So for sure, I don't want to take responsibility of what can survive your oven or not. But if you want to try it. Just don't, I can tell you what won't survive is anything with a handle, like a black handle. Like the, not only won't survive, but it'll actually drip and melt onto the oven. You'll never get it off. So that's so you don't want to do that. It's very hot in there. More. It gets more nowadays. Used to be years ago. They have them now on the full thing, and then people they tell you keep it on for like 2 hours. It can get up to 1,700 degrees on some of them. It's Fahrenheit. It's Fahrenheit, 1,700 degrees. It's like an amazingly hot thing. But let's move to so that's the oven, which is self-cleaning. If it's not self-cleaning, just a regular oven. So now this is where the fun begins. Probably the hardest thing to kosher in the kitchen, but not so hard. First of all, all of a sudden it has to be clean. Self-koshering doesn't have to be cleaning because self-koshering, self-cleaning is all the same thing. Self-cleaning is self-koshering. But this has to be clean. Cleaning an oven is not so easy, but you have to clean it. With my feel test, you close your eyes and see is it dirty, is it not dirty. It can be done. So the thing to do here is a few things. Number one, use Easy Off. I'm not giving a cleaning recommendation or something, whatever they use here. Here it's even stronger than Easy Off.
Like the same
stuff? Yeah.
Be very careful with it.
Right. Everything be very careful. But this stuff is not just a good aitzer for cleaning. What that does is it kills the food value that might be in any of the oven parts. So that's the first thing you have to do. It only kills it, though, topically. It doesn't kill it internally. But you kill it. That's the first thing to do is kill it. Second thing you do is scrub it to the point that you can't feel anything. The third thing you do is you wait 24 hours, meaning 24 hours not from the time you cleaned it, but from the last time it was hot. So maybe this year, I know it's a big issue because Sunday, Shabbos, when you're turning over your kitchen, but let's say you're not using it all Shabbos, so Saturday night, you can kosher your oven, clean it whenever you want.
You don't have to wait 24 hours to clean before you clean it. You just have to wait.
No, you have to clean it 24 hours before you kosher it. That's all.
Clean it 24 hours before you kosher it.
You can clean it whenever you want, but
it can't. 24 hours from when it was hot.
Listen, it can't be. It can't have been hot for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Cleaning doesn't matter when you do it.
Clean it 6 weeks ago. It makes no difference. 24 hours before it gets hot, as long as you clean it before you kosher it. And then once it's koshered, I see a lot of people confused about this. Once it's koshered, as I'm going to describe to you, the next minute you can use it.
What about the grapes?
Once it's koshered. So let's talk what to do. So the first thing is you're going to do is you're going to Saint Moritz it. Second thing you're going to do is you're going to scrub it and clean it. The grates, very hard to get clean. The corners of the grates, very hard to get clean. And that's real stuff. You can feel it. You can scrape with a razor blade. You can do that. I'll tell you what I think the right thing to do. This is where you use your blowtorch. You take it out and take it outside and get all of those little corners with a blowtorch. That's severe. That's something which is possible to do. You blow with a blowtorch.
Take the oven outside?
No, I'm talking about great racks. Racks, oven racks. Yeah. You with me? Like those little areas, that's where a blowtorch. By the way, you can buy a blowtorch. Buy a blowtorch and Ace. You don't need to come off. You need to kill it.
Nullifies.
I don't know if nullifies is the right word, but right. The what it says in Shulchan Aruch is when it turns red hot, or when you can see it char, you know, then you know it's done.
So even if it's still on there, right. It's not smooth.
I have a very satisfying experience that when I do this, and I do this a lot, I do it for people also, some people. When you do it, it can look like pretty clean, and then you blowtorch it, and you could actually smell the cholent. You know, you can actually smell. It's actually taking out the taste. It's very interesting, even if you don't see anything. It's in there. So that's a good idea. So you go to Ace and you can buy the blowtorches here, our little orange things. They're pretty safe. And you just blowtorch along all the corners.
You call it blowtorch after it's all totally clean, right?
Well, you can blowtorch the whole thing, but I don't want to recommend that because people don't have the patience to blowtorch all
the thing. Because you have to blowtorch every point.
You'd have to blowtorch every inch.
Okay, but it's not just the corners. You have to blowtorch wherever the cross piece touches the metal, like the rectangle.
The hard places.
There's a place in Yerushalayim opposite the shuk called Shai Ogin. They sell pieces for every oven.
Oh, really?
I do.
Say again.
Shin Yud Ogin.
It's right across from Machane.
It's literally right across the street from Machane Yud Shuk.
On Yafo.
And they, if you bring them like a grape from the house, they'll either sell you one or make you one.
God bless you. Let me give you another hot tip. Hi.
The
other thing is here in the park, there's people who do this for a living. They have these big fires, and you can take your grates there, and you can kosher it that way. So let me my mechila. Just want to hold the questions because otherwise I'm going to have to call you here a third time. That's not good. So we heat it up the oven. You're gonna heat it up after it's all clean. It passed your clean test. You've waited 24 hours. You've blowtorched or cleaned adequately all of the grates. Now you're first ready to kosher it. How do you kosher it? Two parts. Number one, you take a pot or a can of water and you boil it on the stovetop. The other side of the kitchen, it's boiling water. It doesn't make a difference if it's milk, it's flasek, chametz, trei, makes no difference. Any kind of a pot of water. What?
I have a stove that's
on the oven.
Yes.
Yeah. So you take it, a pot of water, doesn't have to be big, like a tin can, like a tin of beans or corn or whatever. You take a tin can full of water, carefully take the boiling hot water, I'm saying a pot because that way you can, how else are you going to carry from one thing to the other? But you take it, theoretically, you take a can of water, put it into the oven, turn the oven on the highest degree for the longest that you keep things on in your house in the highest degree, which I'm told is 2 hours. Yeah, that's what I'm told. So if you're going to put it on broil, you never broil something for 2 hours, right? So it could be less. But the thing is, kibolo tachpolto. Like it went in, that's how it's going to go off. If you feel I never turn it on broil for more than 20 minutes, so then 20 minutes is your shear. But why the water? Because you're kashering it two ways. You're kashering it with the heat, and you're also kashering it because part of what happens with chametz is the smoke goes into the steam. Goes into the walls. Now, just like the steam got into the walls, I'm taking the steam out of the walls with the water. So now we have a kosher oven. Clear? Clear? That's the kosher oven. This is not so hard. It's just hard work, but it's not a difficult thing to do. The oven is the hardest part because it's hard to clean. Grease is hard to clean.
If you put your hand over the oven and you feel a bump, can you blow towards that point?
Yes. Very good. And thank you for saying that. That's the thing to do. If something is so nasty that you can't get rid of it, so just blow torch it, but don't break your oven. There's electric wires going through. There's all kinds of stuff there, so you got to know what you're doing. Right.
If the spray nullifies it, the spray alone is not enough, even though that's like bitter. Like
spray's topical.
The spray the surface of
it's topical. It's not getting into the tishkes. It's taking care of whatever is there, so it shouldn't be a chatzitza, but it's not kashering anything. You see what I'm saying? What it's saying is that the food that's there is not food. So in case there's...
But like, say you spray, and you don't scrub everything off. You know, it's not smooth, but then you kasher, the kasher doesn't go.
Doesn't work. Okay. Doesn't work. Because there can't be any division between... It's like when you put something in the mikveh. There can't be any division between the fire and the... So let's move from the oven to the refrigerator. Refrigerator never gets hot. Even you put a hot pot in the refrigerator, which is okay to do, put a hot pot in the refrigerator, but the walls never get yad so lettuce, but they're never going to get so hot that you can't touch it. The smoke in the refrigerator, by the time it turns into smoke, if there's still smoke, it's cold smoke by the time it hits the cold wall. So there's nothing you have to do with the refrigerator except for wash it. Some people like to cover the shelves in the refrigerator. It's a chumrah nowadays because this comes still from the time where there was like grates in the refrigerator. Anybody old enough to remember such? Grates on the refrigerator, very hard to clean. Something spills, it's there. So that was the right thing to do to cover. Today, most of them are glass. So if it's glass, wash it. Take it out and wash it. That's all. But just make sure you get your chametz out as long as there's no chametz around the ends. So I would say this, that...
So
let me tell you something about that. You could do it two ways. You could either go with a toothpick and do all of that, which some people do, or you can take some Windex or ammonia or something like that and spritz it all along, make sure that it soaks in. Now you have no food value there at all. It's no, there's no danger of it getting into your food because even if it gets into your food, it's not chametz.
So what's the difference between that and
oven is this question of chatzitza. The oven...
You're not
kashering your refrigerator, you're cleaning your refrigerator. So when you're cleaning, my Rebbe, Rav Scheinberg Zatzal, was a big spritzer. He held that just the way to make Pesach is to spritz. Spritz behind the refrigerator, spritz under the refrigerator, spritz the refrigerator, just spritz, spritz, spritz. That was what he had. By spritzing, because no, his Lom de Shemain said that you're taking the food value out of everything. And once you take the food value out of it, once you soak something in ammonia, it's not food. So it's not food, and it's 100% kosher. You don't even have to clean it, theoretically. You might want to. By the way, I just read such a very interesting thing. Like everybody says, in these kind of shiurim, everybody says, look, you're kashering for Pesach, you're not Pesach cleaning. Right? So that's what everybody likes to say, not Pesach cleaning. That's what I was talking about on Tuesday. Those are the chilled out, group, You're not Pesach cleaning. I read today on Wikipedia that this, we're like, where does this idea of spring cleaning come from? So it comes from cleaning from Passover, they said. Wikipedia. We started it. Look.
No,
it's totally counterintuitive to clean in the spring. Well, I should clean in the spring. But spring cleaning, because Chodesh Aviv, this is what the Jews did, and we are a light unto the nations. So everybody saw the Jews taking out their ovens outside and everything. Okay, time to do spring cleaning. That must be the right thing
what
to do.
What kind of gasket around the refrigerator?
Gasket around the refrigerator. Again, spritz. Just spritz it.
Because you have to be careful not to tear.
Right.
Because then you'll ruin the magnetic.
So many people break these things. It's a chaval. Like they get holes in there. And if you spritz it, you spritz it. My Rebbe spritz. So you know, it's like a gasket. So you push it a little bit aside. That's where the chametz gets into the group. And spritz. Spritz and wipe. If you want to make money, make a special spritz. And call the spritz. Put Windex inside of it. Right, special spritz. This nullifies all chametz. Okay. Let's talk about the microwave. Anything which nobody can eat it afterwards. By the way, Windex is ammonia, which is that's what it is. Spritz. Spritz is very good. Don't use what you shouldn't use. Like a lot of more health conscious people have spritzes which are not so toxic. So don't use that because that's problem. That might be chametz. That might be chametz itself. You might be spritzing chametz. But something like Windex and this kind of stuff. What's it called? Anti-caulk. The cleaning lady is anti-caulk. So these are good. Anything that has anti-caulk on it is not chametz. Let's move to the microwave. Microwave is very interesting. A microwave is not an oven, and it's also not a refrigerator, and it's also not a countertop. A microwave never. The thing with the microwave is like this. As you know, an oven cooks things by becoming hot, and the walls become hot. The kederos hatanur become hot, and that heat goes then into your food. In a microwave, it's the other way around. The food becomes hot. You can actually touch the walls of the microwave, even though something water is boiling inside. It's not so hot. What the only reason that the walls of the microwave are hot is because the food made it hot. So it's not the walls making the food hot, it's the food making the walls hot. So since the walls of the microwave don't get hot, it's not called an oven, meaning there's a whole Simon in Shulchan Aruch about tanur, about oven, doesn't apply to a microwave because it's a different mechanism. That being said, you're not allowed to eat chametz, so it has to be clean. So the thing to do with a microwave is like this. If you have a glass thing which spins around in the middle, so that glass is not glass. That glass is some type of a cheres, and you cover it with saran wrap. Just cover it all around with saran wrap. And it's fine. You can keep it like that for a year. Nothing happens to it. That's one thing. The inner walls, and it doesn't make a difference here, whether it's plastic or metal, or it doesn't make a difference. You don't have to be a scientist here. Whatever it is, you just wash it. And I would say, spritz it. Just spritz it. Spritz the back. Spritz the front. Spritz in the fan. Nothing's going to happen. Just spritz. Spritz, spritz, spritz. And by spritzing it and cleaning it, it's really already kosher le Pesach. Now, some people feel, Moshe Feinstein, when he first saw the microwave, and it was a different, little bit of a different technology at then, he said, yes, but there's another piece to it, and that's the steam. And the steam does get into the walls, and the steam might come back into the food. This was where Moshe observed this, the steam. Even though the walls don't get hot, but they do get steamed. So he said that the answer to this is, that when after you clean your microwave, you take a glass of boiling hot water from your kettle, put it into the microwave, and turn it on for 5 minutes. So now it turns on for 5 minutes. The whole microwave fills up with water. Don't do it for too long because then it'll break. But for 5 minutes, it all fills up with the water. You have a clean, kosher microwave. Just cover the glass thing with saran wrap or plastic wrap, and your microwave is fine. It's actually probably the most mahudr thing that you have in the house, because it's not really a tanur to begin with. It's almost a refrigerator.
Underneath the glass tray, there's a plastic ring with wheels that helps it revolve.
Spritz
what
it.
Do you do with that?
Spritz it. Clean it. Spritz it.
Yeah. When you put the water, do you put it before the saran or after the saran?
After. Before it makes no difference. It doesn't really make a difference. It makes more sense to do it before you put the saran wrap in. In other words, the steam is like good. Okay, you're thinking good. In other words, the steam is going to clean everything, and then you cover the glass part.
Right. Okay.
The glass part, because it's not glass. It's Pyrex. In general, you should know that like Pyrex and all of these kind of things that are very heat resistant are mostly not glass. It's mostly a composite of a lot of things, even metal in there. So it's not so simple. I can go further. No. Never makes a difference because. Yes. Take it from your kettle. You could, but it doesn't. You'll never steam. It just goes down. But if you put in boiling water, you never get a steam effect there. I don't know what the science is. Maybe you don't know. Doesn't make a difference. Whenever anything is giving out, it can't take anything in. I did deterrent leaf light, ain't no belay. When it's giving out, it can't take in.
But it's not giving out.
It's like people. Like when they're talking, they're not listening. When something is giving out, it can't take anything in. So it doesn't. Nothing makes a difference. The Kaylee never makes a difference. What'd you say?
So then why isn't the steam that's going
Because it's busy taking out
the chametz. The purpose of the steam is taking out the
chametz. It's taking out the chametz. So since taking out the chametz, no chametz can get in. So you can use a bread basket in that case. Nothing makes a difference. Let's move along. The dishwasher. You can't kosher a dishwasher. I don't know how to kosher a dishwasher. Dishwasher has plastic racks. We don't have a dishwasher. But it has plastic racks. So how do you kosher plastic racks? So if you have a dishwasher, which is complete, and it gets very hot in there also, it's like very boiling water. So if you have a dishwasher, which is all stainless steel, as many of them are now, the older ones were plastic, it's all stainless steel, and you have stainless steel racks, so then maybe you can kosher. But if you have plastic in there, I don't know how to kosher. So if you, I'm happy to help somebody on the phone if they need help. If you have 100% stainless steel, or what some people that really don't want to have a dishwasher don't want to be without a dishwasher for a week, so they buy new racks for their dishwasher for the week of Pesach.
The inside of the dishwasher itself?
Some, yes, some not. So the European ones are always stainless steel. The American ones are plastic.
Even the part where you put the
silverware in? They're stainless steel. Yeah. People are worried inside the motor and inside the pipes and everything. It doesn't make such a difference because that doesn't come so much in contact with the dishes. But for most people, just close off the dishwasher. Remember again, I just want to remind you that everything that's hot, your counters, let's go over that one more time. If you have stone, so the way you do it is you take boiling hot water, clean it, has to be clean. 100% clean, and you're koshering it. So there's not enough just to spritz. You have to actually clean it. If you have something that you can feel with your hand, you can't kosher it. Take boiling hot water. Best way to do this halachically is to take an urn or something that's actually plugged into the wall. It stays very, very hot, and meticulously pour it over every inch of the countertop. So that's koshered. If you have stone. If you have real stone, you've koshered it. If you have stone,
is that granite? Stone is granite.
Granite is a stone. That's the right way of saying it. Yeah. Granite is stone. As opposed to marble is stone.
As opposed to ceramic
tiles. No, as opposed to Ebon Kesar. So, Caesar stone is a composite. So there, you can't do this. So stone, you kosher that way. But I just want to point out that it's not going. You also have to kosher this backsplash. Yeah, because the backsplash gets steam and it gets chametz and it gets all kinds of things, and that can go into your mouth. Now it's very. You can't kosher that because that's charsina. Mm-hmm. So that you have to probably cover. You know.
Not under the cabinets.
Under the cabinets.
You have to clean it.
You have to clean it. Well, if it has I'll tell you where it's really a problem. If you have a fan over your stove, so the fan over the stove, one of my daughters just took a picture of it for me, of the fan under the stove. It's filthy.
Yeah.
It's like it's full because it's taking in all of the smoke and all of the grease all of the time. So I don't know how to do that. I think the only way to clean that, to kosher that, is you go to take them out and go to the store and get new grates. And they're not expensive. We used to do this when we had a fan. Just in other words, the piece comes out. It's like a screen, and you could buy a new screen. That's the easiest thing to do. Or cover it with aluminum foil. Just cover it and don't use the fan. If you want to continue to use the fan, though, I think you need a new one. I don't know how to kosher. If you put a blowtorch to it, it'll ruin it.
The fan or the screen?
I'm talking about the screen. The fan is fine. The screen.
But
what happens? Look what happens there. That the you're cooking something, chicken soup for Pesach. The steam goes up, grabs the chametz, and puts it right back into your pot.
What about
that's your worst spot.
You can put it in the oven. The self-cleaning oven.
It won't last. It won't make it. It won't make it. It's not made to take heat like that.
You have to clean, though, under the cabinets that are over the counter. You have to just
clean it. You don't need to cover them.
No.
Did you just say you have to cover the whole backsplash, the wall backsplash?
Look, you have to, I don't know. It's hard to say because you can't kosher it. So now the question is, does it need to be koshered? So it depends on your kitchen habits. Like if it's the type of thing where like there's a lot of action in your kitchen and stuff spritzes on it hot, and now it's going to spritz back into your pot. So then you have to cover. My experience is that's only around the stove area. That's my experience. But if you feel like you have to kosher it, then there's no way to kosher it. That's all I'm saying. Then you have to cover it. Unless if you're investing in granite, so put the granite on the sides too, or stainless steel, or double the cost. Okay. So
you're saying that the backsplash, you don't need to cover if there's not a lot of action in that area.
Right.
There's nothing splashing.
If nothing happens, nothing happens. Like there's no reason to be, If you have not stone, but you have a plastic of some sort, Evan Kesar, Formica, something like that as a counter, so now you can't kosher it. There is no way to kosher it, really. So you have to cover it. If you're covering it, you don't really have to kosher it. Now, people do anyway. And the reason that they do is because let me explain to you a good rule for all year round. Here's what it's called. It's called Yavesh B'Yavesh She'ein B'nehem Rotev. You got the Hebrew? Yavesh B'Yavesh She'ein B'nehem Rotev. It means that if I take a pot, a kosher pot, all year round, kosher pot, it's dry, but it's hot. And I put it down on a surface, which is treif.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will transfer.
Unless it's
wet. Right. If it's wet, in order for something to transfer, be it chametz, milchix, fleishix, or treif, in order for something to transfer, it has to be two things, hot and wet. Just hot won't transfer. Just wet won't transfer. Hot and wet transfers. So, being that that's the case, people are worried that, well, okay, I'll cover my counter, but let's say water cricks under there. So once water gets under there, so now, and it could be hot, so they're worried that now the chametz will come through and get somehow into your food. So a lot of people do a perfunctory koshering on their formica before they cover it.
Water almost always gets underneath
the counter. Cover.
It
depends how you
cover it.
Really.
So they do.
No, you can kosher it from all year, so it helps something. It helps something.
It's
a chumrah. It doesn't have to be. It makes sense. It makes some sense because there are those opinions that say that you can kosher for plastic. We don't do it halachically. So your yotzei something. Yeah, it makes some sense. Truth is, I'm not such a fan of it. If you're covering it, you're covering it. Just cover it well and put good tape down.
You can cover with the plastic one layer, the polygal, the gum.
Cover it, and then cover also the seam, like you know where, so no water gets in. Right. Let me move a little bit further, and I think I'm just about done. And that is the sink. And I think I'm finished the kitchen. Did I finish the kitchen? I got everything. Yes.
Taps.
Sink. Part of the sink.
Oh, sorry.
Sink. So if you have a stainless steel sink, so you're easy to do. Let's assume that it really is chametz. Let's make that assumption for a second. Why would it really be chametz? Because let's say you make a pot of pasta and it's boiling hot chametz and you pour it into the sink. So you made it real chametz, serious chametz. So what do you have to do? You have to A, clean it, and you have to do the same thing as you did with the counter. And once it's 100% clean, then you pour boiling hot water everywhere, including on the faucet. And what you can do is you fill up a cup with boiling hot water and you put the faucet, the nose of the faucet, into it and take off that thing. And
change that thing?
Yeah, enough to, it has to be captured. You can capture it. But some people say it's hard to clean, so they... But again, you know, like if you're holding a pot of hot water underneath it so the steam is getting in there. So you're talking about real chametz. So the more you can kosher it, the better you can kosher. That's easy. Stainless steel is easy. What you can't kosher is if you have a plastic plug or a rubber plug on the bottom. You can't kosher that, so you got to get a new one. That you can't kosher. Anything that's plastic around there. If you have an enamel sink...
Is there a waiting period for 24 hours?
24 hours. Everything, 24 hours.
Since the last time it was hot? Like hot. Use it with cold water?
Yes, you could use it all Shabbos this year, let's say with cold water, but not hot. Let's say you have an enamel sink. So enamel is klicheres, and there's no way to kosher it.
Nothing.
What? The white ones. The white ones. So those are like in the bathroom, like a bathroom sink. There's no way to kosher it. So how do you use your sink? What do you do? So the only thing you can do is get an insert.
45 shekels.
So this is a piece. This is a piece of plastic that goes into your sink. Now, I want to tell you a chumrah. If that plastic, in my opinion, is touching the bottom of the sink, you have accomplished nothing.
Really? Yeah. They're not as deep as the sink usually.
Okay, I'm just saying if it's touching the top bottom of the sink, you haven't accomplished anything because it's getting wet under there, and if it's getting hot there, so now you have a yavish. It's going, the chumrah is going right through. So if there's contact, no good. So either you get one that's too short.
It's only the bottom of the sink that's the problem.
The bottom is the only place of the problem. Kach shamati for my Rebbe, it's only the bottom of the sink. Either you get one that's too short, or you don't get an insert at all. You get a sink rack, which lifts you off the bottom of the sink. So you just clean it and lifts you off the bottom of the sink. Or if you have an insert, you put something on the bottom, stones, wood, whatever you want, to lift it up a little bit, and then you're all set.
So if you have a stainless steel sink and you kosher it the way that you said, you don't need any insert rack.
No,
nothing on the bottom.
Nothing.
And the taps. Kosher. Just to clarify, the taps that also you get boiling hot water. You put the tap into it with the
both. You pour it over the tap.
And then you put it into.
Put it into it.
You don't then need to cover it with one of those ones.
No.
So
you kosher the faucet, and you don't kosher the sink. Okay, good. If it wouldn't be so light, I would go through all the questions that everybody asked, but I think I covered just about everything.
Can we ask questions?
So, you wash them.
You have to change them.
No, spritz. Because they don't need to be kosher.
They usually pop out.
They do.
Yeah, but you can spritz it. If you spritz it, so... doesn't make a difference because there's no food in there. Once you spritz it, remember, if nothing else, if you don't remember anything else from tonight, spritz. Right? Spritz is the key thing to everything. Yeah.
I'm still stuck on the oven. They really want to crush my oven. It's my first year having a not self-cleaning oven, so I'm like terrified I'm going to blow this. So if you run your hands over the sink, over the oven, if you can get it clean, you're good.
Yes.
If you feel any bumps, ridges, if you blowtorch that...
Then you're good again.
You're good again. Even if there's still a bump there, but you blowtorched it,
right,
you're fine.
Because, yes. First of all, when you blowtorch it, it'll come right off.
Okay.
You won't have anything more than a stain. But don't forget that part of the oven that you blowtorch doesn't need to be kashered. because you just kashered it.
Because blow torching it kashers.
Kasher. So let's say you have a spot right here, and you have a whole big oven. So by blow torching this piece, you have kashered that piece. There's one piece of oven which is not kosher. That's not very practical. You have one piece of oven that's kosher. You can do. So you got the nasty part with the blowtorch, and now the rest of it you get from everything else. So you're asking good questions, but there's ashes and char there, and how's the koshering getting through it? The answer is it doesn't have to, because that part is
that's
kosher.
Kosher, right? That's okay, kosher. So here's part two of the question. We have in our oven grates and pans, like pans that are shelves.
Right.
But during the year, we would put like tin foil on that pan and then put something to cook or bake, whatever, into it, like use that shelf like a pan.
Yeah.
And now that's like gross. So like my shelf has food on it.
Get a Pesach one, like you get Pesach pots. And you
right, that's what, right, so that's what I hope to do. So don't bother koshering that.
You can put it in a self-cleaning oven or somebody
right.
else's self-cleaning
oven.
Put it in somebody's self-cleaning oven. You can blowtorch it. That's all you can do.
You have to be careful in an oven. If you don't mind me saying so, I've made the mistake of saying there's a bump here, and my husband goes over and he says, it's a chip in the enamel. In other words, it's an inside bump. It's not an outside bump.
So can that be koshered?
It can be kosher, but it's just like another.
So why should we use boxes to go in the like talk about them?
I don't want to spend time talking about why everybody does what they do.
He'll tell you about the box. Ask for my friend.
Look, I could tell you that there's all kinds of things people do, and you know you came here. I'm being very straight about it. I have a good basura. I've been doing this for 40 years. You know, I remember once, you know, when we were dealing, we were working with a lot of Bali Tshuva, so I remember once kosher, I used to kosher kitchens then from treif to kosher a lot, you know, and I remember going into this house and I didn't think anything of it. I was like 21, 22 years old, I'm boiling water and there's water going all over the floor and I'm koshering and I'm putting her silverware in the pots and it's like a whole pouring water on this countertops, you know, cooked from treif to kosher. And this woman walks into the kitchen and sees what I'm doing. She like burst into tears. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing to my kitchen? You know, like it's what am I saying? In other words, it's traumatic. It could be traumatic because these are very expensive things, and it's like balagan. You know, it's hefker. But what I'm saying, I don't honestly feel it's necessary to do anything more machmir than we're talking about, unless you're a Lubavitcher. Because if you're a Lubavitcher, so then the Rav Shulchan Aruch holds that you have to blowtorch. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, then he holds you have to either blowtorch every inch, which they do, or put a box in. That's where the boxes come from. It's a Chabad thing. And a lot of people, a lot of Balei Tshuva are used to this box thing because their kitchens were koshered by Lubavitchers.
Right.
That's their the one who's running around the koshery kitchens of Dan Chabad.
I'm sure that if I ask the lady to stainless stuff oven or sinks, I have to wait 24 hours before I kosher it?
It has to be 24 hours from the last time it was hot. Hot, by the way, the definition of hot, 173 degrees Fahrenheit, enough to burn yourself. That you can't keep your hand there. So that's the Ramosha's 173. So I was hoping to say 160. But I mean, hot means hot. Like it's not, it doesn't make a difference when you cleaned it as long as you didn't use it for hot for 24 hours. Yeah?
Not a coffee session, but we all talk about like moving our refrigerators. So do you need to pull out, you think, the dishwasher? Like there's still not any space there?
Why?
Once in, and why do you pull the refrigerator? You can't get to it.
Who said you have to pull out your refrigerator? Right. First of all, it's on wheels.
If you can't get to it,
Here's the rule.
1974 saying, why would you
pull out
your refrigerator?
Okay,
because you can't get to it.
Call
Makai.
You only have to do a bedika. Lashon of the Mishnah. Lashon of the Mishnah. Mishnah says you have to do bedika ad makom sheyado magas. The danger is that either there's going to be a kazayas of chametz, which is not behind your refrigerator, or, like, in other words, a real kazayas of real chametz that's still called food, or something that you might come to eat, which is not nogea behind your refrigerator. You want to be machmir, if anything, move your refrigerator a little bit and spritz. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't clean behind your refrigerator. Clean behind your, I mean, like, it should be clean behind your refrigerator. I'm just talking about healthy space stuff. That's, you know, about, you know, saying, like, healthy space stuff. Like, but you, this week you have to do spring cleaning. This is a bad week. It's busy. It's our base.
On that note, like, I feel like we're using no word. I don't know if that's the right word. Like, I mean, dish towels, tablecloths, things like that, they would wash, like hot water. Like,
cloth, let me talk about cloth. Cloth is kasherable by a tablecloth, by washing it. So by washing machine, two things happen. One is you've heated it up in hot water, and the other is you put soap in it, you spritzed it. Now, plastic, no, it has to be as hot as it ever gets to the table. Now, plastic, you can't kosher. So if you have a plastic tablecloth, you can't kosher. If you have a polyester tablecloth, that's plastic.
What about the
pot
holders?
Are you with me on this?
Polyester.
Don't buy polyester. Polyester, polyester, terralyn, all of those things, you cannot, it doesn't help, you to wash them. So if you have cotton, I'm saying if you have cotton or you have a real material, silk,
Irish linen, damask.
Linen you can kosher. Linen you can kosher.
What's rayon? Isn't that plastic also?
Plastic. Yeah. Plastic.
Wow. So these ones
that you not even that could look, it could look like real material.
Right now it looks like real material, but they're like repellent right. Water.
You know what happens? I don't know, I'm not recommending you do this, but if you hold a match to it, it doesn't catch fire, it melts. It melts, that's your sign that it's made out of polyester. It melts. Just made a hole. Yeah. If you cover with plastic, this is right. What's being said is correct. If you have a terralyn, what do they call it? Plastic polyester tablecloth, and you want to use it, so cover it with plastic.
Like a disposable.
Disposable chatpami plastic.
And that's
fine. By the way, that plastic. Just the last thing. Like every year, it's different. It has like a powdery feeling to it every once in a while. So some people say that's chametz, but in the last few years I looked in the Badatz book and they said it's not chametz. And 1 year, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the first time I looked, it said that it's potato starch and therefore you can't use it. The Badatz. Okay.
What about actually a table? Do you have to cover a table?
You don't have to cover a table, you have to clean a table. You have to make sure it's clean. Unless you boil things on your table.
Like a plastic
display. We made a distinction between the kitchen and the house. The table is different than a countertop. You don't unless you really prepare hot foods.
If you use
it's a problem. If you use your table the way you use a countertop, then it's not a table, it's a countertop. If you use your table, we don't do that ever, do we?
We always, excuse me, I'm not fanatic, but we always cover, either the table always has a cloth on it and a heavy-duty plastic, not a disposable plastic, but a heavy plastic on it. Or, when I win, we cover the table with disposable tablecloth and tape it, so it's always covered.
Oh, but that's a good. That's actually a good thing to do.
Why?
Yeah. You don't need to unless you use your table as a counter. Maybe your kitchen table like that. So you use it as a counter. You put a hot pot of spaghetti on it or something like that. So, but the eitzah, in any case, if you're worried about your table, so just cover it with the chatpami plastics, scotch tape it on, and put a tablecloth over it.
So what about like a folding table that I know I'm going to be taking out and putting away on paper?
Plastic.
Yeah. It's plastic,
Spritz it.
Like one of the reusable
wipeable
plastic tablecloths.
What are you
going to
put, Windex on your tablecloth?
Yeah. No, I can. It's plastic.
It's heavy-duty plastic.
It's like,
because you put a hot sheet on the plastic.
Look, I don't know what happens. It gets hot. It might need.
No one ever spilled a cup of tea in the house, you know?
Yeah.
You don't need new tablecloths. Unless they're polyester.
You don't need Pesach tablecloths if you have tablecloths. If you have table polyester.
If you say you have polyester.
Cover with plaster. Cover with plaster.
If you're covering the polyester.
I have to go to the airport.
If you're covering the polyester with plastic, so then you don't need it.
Polyester.
If you have a polyester tablecloth.
Right, with plastic.
If you have a polyester tablecloth and you cover it with plastic, yeah. It's okay.
This was her fetish tonight. There's these sheets are in the printer. Yeah.
Wait, dish towels?
Same as cloth.
I meant to take these tablets for. I haven't got any because they're coming in the post. If they come.
You read kidneys?
No. So I don't think I can.
Your daughter eat kidneys.
What?
Does your daughter eat kidneys?
No, I don't have any daughter.
You don't have a daughter? I thought you were. I thought Miller.
No, I'm Eddie Lyons. Tomorrow.
Right. So, but I thought you had a Miller. That's not your daughter?
Okay.
Anyways, this is kidneyish, but it's a pill. It's a pill?
Yes, it's from cholesterol.
100%. Good, okay. Fine.
Okay. Yep, just to clarify, the heart, what I call a heart, the stone.
It's not yet. No. You only cover it when you kosher. It doesn't come in contact with you.
So, only cover it when you kosher.
When you kosher. Right. Right.